T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Today. So something happened on the way to the PGA Championship over the weekend, and I did watch some of it.
You can all relate.
Not sure I watched as much as you did, Dana.
Oh, you can all relate. So there's no crowd, as you know, which just makes everything
more audible.
More audible, let's say. And crowd favorite Justin Thomas was putting. Mm-hmm. And thought he had it. It was going right at the hole for birdie. And it just missed by a half of a half of a half of a half of a hair. Mm. And then Sam will play for you what happened in the very silent outdoors now.
Oh, it's quiet.
Justin Thomas, after his excellent approach shot, ran all the way toward the back of the green for birdie.
Dude, you've got to be kidding me.
Well...
Well,
so that was on CBS.
Dude, you've got to be kidding me.
Well,
come on, Peter.
It was on CBS in the middle of the afternoon.
Oh, Bob Menery won't be taking care of that one later on this afternoon.
No, Scott, Twitter exploded. Here, I'll just read a couple. Justin Thomas is me on every hole of golf I've ever played in my life. We are all Justin Thomas. There was one last week, and it was another F-bomb, and it was Brooks Koepka who said it. And Jim Nantz said, well, we apologize. I hope no one was offended by what you may have just heard.
I like this one better. Just, well.
Play it one more time. Play it one more time.
Dude, you've got to be... kidding me.
No.
Well,
no.
Play, it's the run up to
play
it.
Play the run up too with Bob Nantz or whoever it is.
Jim.
Or Jim Nantz.
Justin Thomas, after his excellent approach shot, ran all the way toward the back of the green for birdie.
Dude, you've got to be kidding me.
Well,
pardon me. That's not Jim Nantz. Well, Jim Nantz was on the Brooks Koepka broadcast.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, he's
for
awesome.
For birdie.
Not so much.
Well,
well, we certainly apologize if anybody heard what just was said.
Well, I feel like CBS from
Justin
this point
Thomas.
Forward is going to have to say, like almost a little warning at the beginning that this is a live sporting event with no fans, which means you may or may not
what?
Hear some colorful language in the middle of your Sunday.
Why don't you run it in delay like everybody else? You call into this show and you drop that bomb on us, it's never going over the air.
TV can't do that, though.
Yes, they can.
Yeah, they can, but, and I also, I don't think they should delay it because I think it's hilarious and it makes it way more interesting. Tiger Woods has dropped one so far in the last couple of weeks. Brooks Koepka dropped one, and then Justin Thomas dropped one.
Just one more time, just for fun. Including the walk-up.
Justin Thomas, after his excellent approach shot, ran all the way toward the back of the green for birdie.
Dude, you've got to be kidding me.
Well...
Do we have more, like, after that?
No.
Where the commentator's
the
like,
whole clip.
Sorry about that.
No, I think they just kept going. Keep going.
Well?
Hot mic. Hot mic.
That's all you've got, commentators. Well? Yeah, it was unfortunate.
They may have been told to not bring attention to it.
I think?
Yeah, I think that's the case. We're just going to pretend like that didn't happen.
Well?
Well, let's move on. Now to 17.
All right, so let's talk about football.
All right, let's.
It's going away?
Well, I don't know. I got to call out to Tim Grunhardt, see if he can join us. I might reach out to Ryan Lilja here and see if he can. I'll do that right now. The Big Ten, here it is. The Big Ten is the first major conference to say no to a fall football season, according to the Detroit Free Press. The newspaper, citing sources, said Monday morning that the decision to shut down came from a vote of university presidents because of the COVID-19 pandemic. The vote, taken Sunday, was 12-2, with Nebraska and Iowa voting to have a season. There has been no word from the Big Ten. The most recent statement from the league occurred on Sunday when it announced there would be no non-conference competition for its fall sports, including football. So everybody would simply play their conference games. So the three easy games that Nebraska would play, right, or that Iowa would play, those games are not going to happen. The statement concluded the Big Ten could pull the plug on those seasons. Quote, "We are also prepared not to play in order to ensure the health, safety, and wellness of our student athletes should the circumstances so dictate. The major college conferences, there are five of them, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, the Big 12, the SEC, and the ACC do not appear to be on the same page.
The last time power conferences opted to cancel major events, they all came to the same conclusion, and that was March 12th. Leagues across the country were holding basketball tournaments and then decided we got to just cancel.
Yep.
These are unprecedented times, quoting here from K-State Athletic Director Gene Taylor. He tweeted Monday, quote, "With extreme fluidity, if the Big Ten cancels fall sports, that decision could serve as a domino for the rest of college football. Mm-hmm. Will other conferences tumble with the Big Ten and make the same choice, or will they stand firm and play games minus one of their strongest peers? It is believed the Pac-12 will move in concert with its Rose Bowl partner, the Big Ten, no matter what it decides, but the other three might not."
Here's what you have to take into account. Most of these major schools, okay, take your Iowa University, your Nebraska Cornhuskers. These are teams that are located in relatively small cities. Now, that's not to say that there aren't big buildings in Lincoln, Nebraska. I go there every year to watch at least one game. This will cripple the Lincoln economy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, because it was often said, and I heard this a lot when I went to the University of Nebraska, the stadium in and of itself is the third largest city, if you will,
right,
on every Saturday afternoon in the entire state of Nebraska. Whew. So you think about Omaha, 450,000 people. Lincoln, 200,000 people. The stadium holds 90,000 people. People come in from, I don't know, Roland Park, Kansas.
Yeah.
And they drop money on hotels, and they drop money on restaurants, and they buy food at the stadium. This is not just about football.
It's about the economy and the dominoes that fall after.
Think
if
about
it goes
Iowa
away.
City. Iowa. Iowa plays in Iowa City, Iowa. Not exactly the biggest city in the state or in the country. And you think about all these other schools, Oklahoma State, say the Big 12 was to follow, plays in Stillwater.
So it's already happened, Scott, because the Big Ten Conference announcing the elimination of non-conference football games, not only is that three games pulled from Nebraska's schedule, it was three home games. Mm-hmm. They were supposed to play Central Michigan, South Dakota State, and Cincinnati all at Memorial Stadium.
Right. All, if you're in Nebraska, all of your non-conference games are, except for one, you always play one out because you have to. But you bring in the South Dakotas, the Cincinnati's, whatever. They're easy wins. They're Division I wins. but it still brings in 90,000 people to watch that
game.
So
here's the math. Each sold-out Nebraska home football game generates a combined $12 million in revenue for the athletic department and the local economy. In 2018, the Huskers pulled in more than $5 million in ticket concession and merchandise sales per game.
Yep.
The $32 million in ticket revenue and another $5 million in concessions and merch sales represented one-third of the football program's $96 million in total revenue.
Great, great point on the text line. Here's something else you need to consider. I know we got to get to the break. The football programs at most major universities carry the other programs. Now, KU basketball being the outlier, of course. Duke being the outlier. North Carolina being the outlier. But at most major universities, think your Iowa State, think your Iowa.
Yeah.
Think your North Dakota, think your Minnesota. The football program carries, in part, most of the other major sports, most of the other sports.
Period.
At any given university. 576-7798. The Big Ten announcing today that they are thinking about foregoing the entire football season. Now, there is talk that they may move it to the spring. But then who sits out? Anybody who's going to be a high draft pick is not going to play. What does this do? Let's not do the X's and O's. Who cares about that? You can talk about that on one of the AM sports stations. We're talking about what does this do to the local economy? Lawrence, Columbia, Lincoln, Nebraska, Manhattan, Kansas. When you don't have 70,000 people rolling into town every weekend, renting hotel rooms and eating out, buying concessions at the football stadium. 576-7798.
Justin Thomas, after his excellent approach shot, ran all the way toward the back of the green for birdie.
Dude, you've got to be kidding me.
Well.
Think I'd just stay here and rain. Hey,
all right, welcome back.
Close and you
so,
can
Big Ten had a – they're not confirming this yet, but these are just reports coming out from a bunch of outlets that they held a vote today, and I know there are 14 teams in the Big Ten. I get it. The vote was taken yesterday, by the way. It was 12-2 to cancel or postpone the season. The only two that objected were Nebraska and Iowa, voting to have a season on schedule without non-conference opponents. Earlier today, National Sports Talk radio host Dan Patrick said the Big Ten and the Pac-12 were poised to announce no football in their conferences this fall, but that the SEC, ACC, and Big 12, the Big Five, were not prepared to make that call yet.
The Big 12 commissioner over the weekend told media outlets that the conference has not made a final decision and that it will not be influenced by outside factors. The Big 12 also plans to unveil its new schedule format at some point this week. Quoting here from the commissioner, I have literally been on dozens of calls with doctors and scientists, and no one has told us to stop. We will keep trying to move ahead, although it would be less than forthright to sit here and not add that the last 30 days has not gone the way we would like.
Somebody writes in, Nebraska is intending to okay football this fall with or without the Big Ten. That's fine.
Who are you going to play?
Iowa? 10 times?
Well, here we go again.
And welcome back, sports fans. It's Nebraska and Iowa again for game 3. I mean, if the other teams decide they're not going to play, who are you going to play? And I'm a Nebraska fan. Nan in Independence. Hello, Nan. Nan, hello.
Yes, hi. I'm sorry I took you off speaker. Hi.
Hi there.
It appears we have inevitable horrors that could unravel in front of us quickly. So we also have to embrace my worst phrase, the new normal C-19 has brought. So if you move forward, you have smaller, more outspread college towns, college cities, We have people who have gone from farms to suburbs to cities, now back to suburbs. Now they want to get the heck out of this. They're going for larger areas, more wide open space. Should this befall these areas, what's wrong with remarketing themselves towards a safer environment, more widespread environment for families? People in their 40s, possibly seniors that are left.
I've seen that, Nan. I've seen what she's talking about, Scott, football aside, is that we went from more rural America, okay, to these huge population centers in America, right? Okay. And I don't remember what the percentage is, but you've seen the numbers where the majority of people live in a handful of very concentrated areas.
Yes.
What she's saying is, do we need to swing the pendulum back? And maybe people in their 40s or seniors start moving back into rural towns and slowly repopulate.
What's called de-urbanization.
Yes. Slowly start to repopulate those dying small towns. Spread out.
And how do you force people to sell their homes and move to a smaller town?
You would have to incentivize it. Because you would have to have doctors. You would have to have hospitals. You would have, you know, the hospitals are dying in small towns.
576-7798. Mike and Lawrence, the others, hang tight. 576-7798. Sam Stevie the Third, Dana Wright, I'm Scott Parks on KMBZ. Right, a couple things from Texas. Let me just address these real fast. And I know it's fun to kind of kick KU football while they're down right now. The people are writing in, Lawrence is going to be fine. They only have 10 people show up anyway for the football games. First of all, that's not true. Now, granted, is it what it used to be? No. But I went to two football games, at least one, maybe two, and there were at least 30 to 40,000 people there. Most of those people coming in, by the way, from Johnson County. Somebody else writes in, Scott, are you saying the Iowa game against Iowa State is an easy game? Yes. And somebody writes in about Pittsburgh State. Great point. Pittsburgh, Kansas. Yeah. The Pittsburgh State Gorillas are a huge draw for that small town, relatively small town. And they write in, that town supports and is totally dependent on the university and their activities, even though the school is D2. Absolutely right. Now, the last caller talked about de-urbanization.
Mm-hmm. Or counter-urbanization.
Okay, is that something we need to look at, where people start moving to the smaller towns?
Here's the deal, Scott. I think that's something in theory and on paper people talk about. I don't think it's something you actually do unless you are living in a city where it is so expensive for you to work, and now we're all working from home, that you can get out of San Francisco and still keep your job and work from a cheaper place.
Some of us in small town USA don't want you city people. Thank you, but no thank you.
And I believe the technical term is urban sprawl.
Well, it would be, yes. Yes, and there are articles out there, Scott, suggesting that there could be a movement to do that. And then let me read this real quick.
Okay.
Nearly a third of Americans that live in urban areas, quote, are strongly considering moving out of those areas solely because of the pandemic, by the way.
Huh.
But there's a difference.
A third.
Yes, but there's a difference between, I'm thinking about it.
And then I'm going to sell my house.
And move
my kids out of their high school.
I don't see it happening.
Come on. 576-7798. James in Lawson. Hello, James.
Hey, how are you?
Hi.
Hi. Do not let people move out of the city into the country, please. Don't support it at all, because they bring a whole bunch of problems with them.
Like what?
Higher crime rates. I'm just personally, I grew up in a small town, and my small town, if somebody passes away, the whole town knows about it. And it's been that way for years. Now, the older that I've gotten and still stayed in a small town is that you might not know as many people as you do, but if something goes on in town, the whole town knows about it. And a lot of people that come from the city bring a lot of problems with them, too.
Okay, but James, I understand what you're saying. However, I have to challenge you a little bit there because rural America has been wiped out by the opioid crisis, and big city people did not bring that into rural America.
Well, probably. I'm just saying from my standpoint, I've seen a lot of city people move in and trash the entire neighborhood. So that's just me.
Well, your town is growing pretty quickly. I mean, and it's a small town. But in 1990, you had 1,800 people there, and now you have 2,500 people there.
Yeah.
And
that's
good enough for you. You don't want no city folk.
No, personally, I don't.
All right. All right, friend.
Thank you.
All right, I get it. That's like we always say, Scott, stop telling people how great Kansas City is.
Yeah, we don't want any more people here.
We don't want any more people. We're good.
We got 2.5 million people.
We're good.
We're good. Everything's good. I have a very, very hard time believing that a third of city dwellers, if you will, whatever you want to call us, are actually thinking about moving into small town America. I have a very hard time believing that. And I have an even harder time believing that of the third who are considering it, that any are even going to really do it. You're just going to pack up and move out. Because of a pandemic.
Well, the people that I do believe are considering this are those who cannot afford to live in New York or San Francisco, and okay. They work in New York or San Francisco.
But
so now that I'm working online, I don't have to physically go into this place and spend $1 million for a, you know, one bedroom studio. I can live in Utah or Arizona where prices are more affordable, but still work in San Francisco.
But do you really think for one red hot minute that there's somebody who lives in a nice house in Overland Park who might work downtown, maybe even telecommutes right now.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is thinking about moving to Lecompton or Baldwin City. By the way, let me preface that. Nothing against Lecompton or Baldwin City.
But are used to having amenities, you can get in a car and pick from 1,000 different restaurants, nice restaurants.
Not that they don't have nice restaurants in Baldwin City.
You get used to having those amenities, or going to Starlight, or going to the Kaufman Center, all of those things.
Do you really think somebody is thinking about moving out of Overland Park to Lecompton? Come on. And nothing against Lecompton. Or out of Kansas City, Missouri, and they're moving to Sugar Creek? Come on.
They might.
Really? Nothing against Sugar Creek. Okay? Nothing against Sugar Creek. Susan in Overland Park. Hello, Susan.
Hey.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to say I listened to the caller talk about influx of urban people, mm-hmm. or even suburban people, to the rural areas. In particular, Kansas certainly could benefit from people going to those rural areas to help bring in money, civilized sure. economy. I think people are seeing, too, if they can homeschool their kids or do virtual education and then work remotely, that might be something to help the state.
But let's get back to the original point. Do you really think people – you live in Overland Park, right, Susan?
I do.
Would you consider moving to a small town because of this?
Currently with what my husband does, he can't work remote, but I'm in the healthcare field, so I could certainly find a job. I think it just depends. I'm not so much here, but I think major urban areas looking to come to places like Kansas City where the cost of living's low and then looking to go out into a smaller town, I think they'll go. I think, and I also think that people looking to retire retire or pivot when they retire at 55 from a corporate job, that will be a whole other demographic that's looking to downsize, but yet still provide still have a livelihood. So just another area to look at.
Okay. All right. Susan, do appreciate the call. Thank you for chiming in.
This is from the Washington Post about 2 months ago. Even as most people stay close to home in this deeply disruptive time, millions have been on the move. A mass migration that looks urgent and temporary, but might contain the seeds of a wholesale shift in where and how Americans live.
Let's grab one more. Joe in Excelsior Springs. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey. I got two things real quick. I'm driving, so I can't look it up again, but I was on the Joe Biden campaign website, and part of his plan that he wants to do, I think it was written up by AOC, but it was to build low-income housing in outlying areas to get people to move from the cities out into the suburb areas and small towns.
The problem in the small towns, Joe, is where do you work? Now, if you're talking about retirees, I agree with you. But if you're used to working at a larger corporation with the salary that comes with that, one of the problems with going into a small town is where do you work, unless you can work remotely?
Well, right. I mean, I commute 35 minutes a day.
Okay.
To the city. No big deal to me.
Okay.
So, yeah, you can get out like that. The other issue I had was, Dana, you said something about the opioid crisis in the small towns. That, I feel, that's a direct result of people going from the city to the small town to cook their meth because there's not as many police officers. Well, they cook their meth and then ship it back to the city, and the downside to that is people all around the meth house start getting hooked on meth.
Hmm.
I think that's a city problem that has migrated to the country.
Okay.
All right, Joe.
I don't know that I agree with that, but thank you for the call.
576-7798. Get to more of your calls, your comments here in just a moment. Don't forget, every Friday at 5 o'clock, we do Festivus Friday. It is brought to you by Michelob Ultra.
Moving to the country, I'm gonna eat a lot of peaches. I'm moving to the country, I'm gonna eat me a lot of peaches.
They don't want them.
I'm moving to the country.
Andy in Kansas City. Hello, Andy.
Hey, so I think that it's feasible that one-third of people in big cities have thought about moving out into small towns, but I don't think it's feasible that they've actually thought about it that hard. Because coming from someone who did grow up in a small town, when I moved to Edgerton, Kansas, I thought that we were in a giant town. The town that I grew up in had 730 people in it, and I could probably name all of them. You think it's great. You think, yeah, let's go into the country. We want to live in this small town. And then you have to drive an hour and a half to get a can of beans because someone got bored and burned your grocery store down. They have their own problems.
Yeah.
City folk aren't bringing their problems in there. They've got nothing to do, so they think up their own little things. When I was in high school, we had 3 bomb threats called in the same year. So, no, you don't want to live in a small town. It's awful.
Well, and Andy, there's one big, big issue that people haven't thought about yet, at least with the calls and on the text line that I just found in a Washington Post article. Once you move into a small town, it is likely you do not have reliable Wi-Fi.
Oh, no. Oh, gosh, no. My grandma still lives in that town. She's a teacher. When they had to go online, they had to provide students with the internet, and half the time they couldn't even get online because no one has internet, no one has good phone reception. I was out there this weekend and could not get a call through. You think you want that. You think it'd be great to get away from the city. But
I don't
walk 5 minutes down the road and get to a grocery store, so I'm fine.
Yeah.
All right.
I think the two biggest blocks are healthcare, access to good healthcare in rural areas, Scott.
Right.
Access to good, usable Wi-Fi. Because if the whole reason you're moving is because we can now all work remotely, well, you can't if you move to a place that doesn't have Wi-Fi.
Susan in Overland Park. Hello, Susan.
Hi. I was calling because I don't know that if they necessarily are thinking about moving to a small town as much as they are going back into suburbia, the ones that have moved in.
The question was rural, not do you want to move into Overland Park? Do you want to move into, like, Baldwin City?
Yeah, so that we're all spreading out, Susan.
Right. Well, I had told him what I was saying. Anyway. He told me to hang on. I told him what I was saying because the elevators and, you know, its backyards look really good. Now, my daughter she is an assistant superintendent of a school district in a little town that's only about 2,500 people. And so the school district has about 1,000 students. But they're about 10 minutes from a city of 240,000. So they have the, they can be out in a rural area, in that small town life, and still have access to city activities. In fact, it's down in Lubbock, where Texas Tech is, where Patrick came from. But you know, and they really love that small town life. They do have some issues with health care. They have to go into the city for health care. And they have had to, they are having issues providing, as the last caller mentioned, the Wi-Fi for the students to be able to do remote learning. That's been a big issue. But they have also, their providers, there are three providers in that area who have come forward. They came forward in the spring and have provided free or very reduced cost Wi-Fi, just the Wi-Fi, not any other thing, you know, not other things. But Wi-Fi for these students that need it. And they are providing them in these small communities. Somehow they are finding ways to provide either like a Chromebook or a small notebook type thing.
All right.
My town is a small town, provides a little opportunity. Hey!
We only got time for one more. Sorry, Pam. Jennifer in Excelsior Springs. You get the last word. Hello.
Yeah, I was one of those that actually lived in Kansas City, Missouri, and moved out to the country in Excelsior about 4 years ago. Part of it was cost of living being cheaper and all that. Now, a couple of the issues that if I had known back then, I probably would have never moved, was one, the Wi-Fi. When the shutdown happened with the pandemic, I live so far out in the country, I have to have satellite internet, and that is a nightmare. So that's a big one. And then again, healthcare is another issue. I gave birth 7.5 months ago to a set of twins. My hospital I had to go to was 40 minutes away.
Oh, wow.
So that's a big one. Yeah.
That's fun when your water breaks.
Oh, yeah, I know. That was December 23rd was kind of a rough day there. So.
Right on, kid. All right, glad we got you in.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.